I think there are a variety of reasons. Some of it comes down to concerns about, could I get an infection from giving blood? Then there's sort of more practical concerns about, will it hurt? Am I really the right type of person that can give blood? Am I too young or too old? And then there's just the practicality questions. I think people think, this will take a lot of time. It's probably at some hospital far away, this kind of thing. Something like the World Blood Donor Day is an opportunity for us to talk to people around the world with many, many events around the world to raise the profile and say, look, it's easy to do, virtually painless, especially in countries and in places where you have good systems for safety and quality, that where the donation and the collect is being done by an accredited organization such as the Red Cross or Red Crescent. There's virtually no danger of infection. And it's one of these things that you can do for your fellow person. So this year's theme on Blood Connects Us All is really about the idea, wouldn't it be amazing if you could know all the people you've helped when you donate.
Can you tell us why it's important to give blood?
Without blood donations, when WHO advocates especially for voluntary, non-remunerated blood donations, or countries moving to that, but without those blood donations, you would not be able to do surgeries around the world, wouldn't be able to do even basic life-saving at most of the world's hospitals around the world. But secondly, you know, blood is used also for other therapeutic purposes. About 65% of blood transfusions, for instance, in low-income countries are for kids under 5 years of age.
Can anyone give blood?
Any people who are healthy, basically, can give blood. There's a recommended age, although it varies between countries. Most countries recommend you can give blood even every 3 months. For women, you can give blood about every 4 months. We usually say that, you know, you shouldn't probably give blood if you're feeling unwell, pregnant, or you've been pregnant within the last year. Maybe you have a medical condition such as heart disease or diabetes or epilepsy, or there's certain medications that might be contraindicated. There's certain infections, obviously, or certain high risk practices or lifestyles that would mean that someone wasn't indicated to give blood. If you have or are currently using injection drugs, or you've ever injected drugs, if you have multiple sexual partners or sexual contact with prostitutes, or if you're a man having sex with men, all of those are contraindicated because of concern. It puts you at a much higher risk category for certain bloodborne diseases. So that doesn't mean in all countries you can never give blood, but you would have had to have deferred from any of those activities for a certain period of time, depending on the country.
108 million blood donations are collected every year, and 50% come from high-income countries, according to WHO. Why is that?
Partially, that is because we have done a good job raising awareness and the importance of blood donation for strong, robust health systems in those countries. But it also shows that we have a ways to go in terms of communication and advocacy around blood donation in lower-income countries. And, you know, those lower-income countries, it's not a huge hurdle to get over. Most countries, if 1% of their population were donating blood, they would be able to meet the basic requirements for blood. And it is going in the right direction. You know, if you look, we regularly survey this. So over a period of time, between, say, 2004 to 2012, the world saw an increase of nearly 9 million blood donations from voluntary unpaid donors. So things are going in the right direction, but there are certain countries, really high-risk countries, and particularly low-income countries, where a lot more needs to be done.
What is WHO doing to support those countries? There are about 25 countries who are unable to screen donated blood for infections like HIV or hepatitis viruses. How does WHO support those countries?
Yeah, it's a big part of our work. We have really two streams of work. One is supporting countries working on creating a first, you know, the basic issue is you have to create a policy framework where there's a national policy saying this is an important issue, the Ministry of Health, as well as other ministries like education, et cetera, are going to get behind trying to promote this. Then you have to have a strong national institute, whether it be a regulatory one or a safety institute that has charge with testing blood donations and also setting up kind of certified blood collection programs and blood collection sites, whether it be in hospitals or it be in sort of outreach centers. So we work with countries on, you know, what are the tools for that and help them learn from other countries. And then we also work with a blood regulators network that regularly brings together the blood regulatory authorities to look at new standards for testing and how those are evolving and new standards for structuring programs.